Today on Real Life Radio.
Complacency was the scourge of the Corinthian church. They had entered into a comfort zone. They had become very, very comfortable at being a Christian. You guys, it's a dangerous day when you become comfortable in this world being a Christian.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey everybody, have you gotten dry mouth and kind of terrified when you knew you were supposed to share the Lord with somebody, but you chickened out? All of us know that feeling. And it comes from insecurity because we don't know how to say what we know, what we believe. And yet the burden is upon us to tell someone. Well, listen, you guys, my friend Barry McGuire has written the book, Ignite Your Life. And it is a book that is a must read to help you learn how to share Jesus Christ with everybody in any situation. You're going to be surprised as to how easy it is to move someone just a little bit closer to Jesus Christ. Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire. Get a copy for yourself.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, How Can We Serve You? Part 2. 1 Corinthians was written, of course, by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, a study on how to stay true to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. You see, we learned in part one that we serve best by being faithful to Jesus Christ. Every Christian is called to do whatever Jesus asks us to do, and that includes living our lives for others. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that as Christ followers, we need to ask ourselves who or what we are living for. If we really want to be like the Apostle Paul, then we have to count the cost. He was despised and rejected and considered himself to be the least of all. Now with his message called, How Can We Serve You? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I am so tempted, I kid you not. I am so tempted because I see people do that. I'll recognize you. You guys, I can see you from here. I see your face and I'm going down an aisle looking for light bulbs. You know who I'm talking about. If you're here, you know. And you see me and you go, okay, I'm throwing down the gauntlet from here on out. I'm coming after you with my cart. Where I'm just going to get you. I'm going to come. I'm coming. How cool will that be? Number two is coming up on the outside. Right turn. Oh, he takes the lead. Oh, no. It's a crash on aisle three. You know, it's so funny. But it's true. Greet them. Obey them. Remember them. If they're for real, they love you. And they'll give you the word of God. Verse 8, humble, knowing why it's all about Jesus. Knowing why it's all about Jesus. Oh boy, listen, this is something. This is something. He says, you are already full. This is huge sarcasm. He's making fun of them. You can write it down in your notes. Don't believe me. Go research it. Paul is mocking them with a holy mockery. Let me exaggerate it like this. He would say, you are already full. My, Corinthian church, you're the super church. Everybody wants to know how to do church like you do it. You're already rich. You have need of nothing. You are so self-sufficient. You are so independent that you don't even need God anymore. Keep reading. Follow along with me. You have reigned as kings. In your Christianity, reading your Bible, have you ever seen such a thing where it says that we are to walk around this world reigning as though we were kings? Listen, this is going to step on some toes. Ushers, open the doors. Let's just let the people go. Some churches teach things like this. You're the child of the king. Well, that's true. And that's true, right? I am. And because you're a child of the king, you should have a Rolls Royce. Really? You should have this. You should have that. Listen, where's that in the Bible? Where's this at? How do you explain that to a persecuted church today in the world? What is it, that God doesn't love them? In Vietnam, we've seen Christians have their tongues cut out of their mouth because they wouldn't shut up for Jesus. They kept evangelizing. They cut their tongues off and then seared their the bleeding with a hot pan. You think I'm making it up? You want to see pictures? Go to vom.org. V, that's like Victor. vom.org. Think I'm making it up? Ears getting cut off for preaching Christ? All around the world today. Why would somebody do that? Why would somebody allow it to be done? Why would somebody put themselves in that condition or that situation? The Bible says it's the love of Christ that compels us. Why would we... Listen, right now this morning I was talking to Jeff. Many of you already know, you have people down there, relatives, down in Mexico right now in Baja at our church this morning having church service. The team is down there witnessing. I'm getting texts and emails. 3 came to the Lord. 5 came to the Lord. 27 came to the Lord. Outreach. Why spend money and take your vacation time and go and to a little fishing town and share Jesus as they are today? Because it's all about him. There's no hope without him. But the church in Corinth, they had it all. They had so much. And so Paul is really saying to them, how's it feel to be so amazing? How's it feel? Complacency was the scourge of the Corinthian church. They had entered into a comfort zone. They had become very, very comfortable at being a Christian. You guys, it's a dangerous day when you become comfortable in this world being a Christian. These are dangerous times. And if you stand for Jesus, it's going to cost you in ways you'll never know. But is he worth standing for, church? I know there's a lot of people even in this first service, but imagine for a moment if somebody stormed into this building right now and said, all those who believe Jesus Christ is the one true God, died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave, you're a born again Christian, stand up. We're going to machine gun you down. How many of us would stand up? I would pray all of us would. That would be, and that happens, but that would be a defining moment as to if you live your life for Jesus or not. You see, if you've lived your life for yourself only, you have nothing to stand on when that moment comes. Is your faith so secured in him that it's all about Jesus, that it doesn't have to be some guy with a machete or a machine gun? It can be a doctor with a note. Is your foundation Jesus? The Corinthian church, they made themselves the foundation. We need to be cautious in this church, you guys. God has blessed us. Let me tell you something. Are you guys all listening? Because I'm going to hold you accountable to this and you hold me accountable to this. God is blessing this church. We have influence in places we didn't even know. The word is going out to places. How can I go to a restaurant and sit down and there's a woman who joins the services from Chicago, as I mentioned a moment ago? That's weird, you guys. Why, when it comes election time, all the politicians call this office and want me to all of a sudden pray for them? I'm serious. What's going on? You can't take a stand for the defense of marriage, Genesis chapter 1, without getting in trouble. As a church, we're known in the world. That's scary. You want to know why? It's a trap. It's a trap if you begin to think, whoa, look, the more God uses us, the more we better walk around on our knees. The more we better be careful. Because if you like it or not, you may be sitting here saying, Pastor, nobody even knows I'm here. You go, Pastor, because I'm just going to hide right here. We're in this together, okay? And when we say what Jesus said, that unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. I didn't make that up. Jesus said it. And when you say it, people get either happy about it or upset about it. You're probably sitting here right now saying, I don't like that. Jesus said, if you die believing in him, you will live eternally. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes through the Father, but through me. Wow. You believe that? If you believe that, it's going to get you in trouble. It's true. Listen to this. Church of Corinth, they were cool. They wanted to relate to their culture. I can't think of a greater way to relate to your culture than by preaching the gospel. Oh no, man, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do the other. We're going to have church, but we're not going to mention sin. We're going to have church and we're not going to mention cross. We're going to have church and we're not going to mention fill in the blank. Why? To bring in the culture. Just know this. If the culture comes in and you don't have a cross and you don't have a savior that died for those precious people, then that culture, it's the way that it works. Didn't Jesus say it? A little leaven leavens the entire lump of dough. If there is no cross for us to run to for hope, then evil will just spread within a church and it'll be no different than the world outside these walls.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, some of you are probably praying that my throat would give out. Your prayers, I will not let happen. Revelation 3:14 says, Jesus says, and to the angel of the church at Laodicea write this. These things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Isn't that awesome? Who's the creator? Jesus. Wow. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus said that. To who? To a church. Wow. In Luke 6:25, Jesus says, woe unto you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Dangerous stuff. I'm not saying be a church that everybody hates. I'm saying be a church that stands for the truth. You're going to get hated either way. Just make sure that at the end of life, at the end of history, you end on the right side. Paul is saying, Corinthians, you're not right. It's a powerful thing that he is announcing to them. Third point, and we'll wrap up this in the third point, verses 9 to 14. How can we serve you? I think this is a fun part, though it's painful. How can we serve you? We serve you best by being dead. And somebody would say, amen. But it is true. We serve you best by being dead. Let me explain that. In verses 9 to 14, there's a beautiful summation of this found in Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. Can you write it down? How can we serve you best? Listen to Romans 14, verse 7. For none of us lives to himself. He's talking to Christians. None of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. Remember Paul Simon said, I am an island. He sang that song. What song is that? I'm an island and I'm a rock and a rock feels no pain. You know, he's crazy for saying that. Who wrote that song? Somebody who didn't know what they're talking about. I'm an island. It's about self-protection. I'm all alone and I love it. No, you don't. God didn't make you that way. You're all alone because you're trying to protect yourself from hurt. This world's full of hurt. The only way that you can overcome the hurt is by love. So watch this. Romans 14. For none of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are what? The Lord's. Is that a great verse? That's awesome. You should have that tattooed on your dog. That's amazing. That's awesome stuff. It all comes down to this. It's what General Patton said. I have to change the words, but General Patton said, we're going to go to war tomorrow. And if you're thinking about surviving, forget it. He said, most of you, if not all of us, are going to die. So get ready, men. You know what? I know this sounds crazy, but you can't stop someone who's already dead. You say, well, they're dead, aren't they? I'm not talking about physical death. Dying to self, dying to watch, dying to plans. A minister of the gospel, dead men, they have no plans. See, what do you mean by that? Look what he says. For I think that God has, number one, displayed us, the apostles, last. These guys were ministers of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. They were abused. They were made fun of. They were misrepresented. They were attacked. Number two, not only are they displayed as last, look at number two, condemned to death. He goes back to the under oarsmen. Remember, you guys, I told you last week that the guys that were rowing in a Roman galley or warship, they were slaves condemned to death. Now he goes back to that. He says, we're already dead. For we have been made, look at number three, a spectacle. Spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Spectacle. I'm going to give you some words here. They're amazing. Displayed. Made public. That's what it means. Condemned to death. Carrying their own sentence of death. The judge handed them the paperwork. And the guy that's condemned to death is walking with his own death orders. Did anybody hear that? Are you guys awake? The Christian ministry is the fact that we're to give out this word, come rain or shine, and it will eventually be our death warrant. See, we don't get that in Southern California. We will. It's coming. But if I gave this message right now in Turkey, 5 Christians last year, you can read about it, were brutalized for 3 days and then killed for preaching the gospel in Turkey. I can't give this message in Iran. I can't preach this in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan. I don't even know if I can give this message in London anymore. It's the sentence of death. Who or what are you living for? My friend, all of us will die for something in the end. The clock is ticking. Time will run out for us, each of us individually. I know some of the young people, you never think, I'll never die. You have that feeling. By the way, that's why generals are in the back. And they send all the young guys out in front. You want to know why? Because the generals are old enough to know, hey, when I was young, I didn't think I'd get shot. No young man thinks he's going to get shot. You think you're invincible. But if you live to be 100, what is that? An eternity, you're still going to die. Do you know Jesus? All of a sudden, if you know Jesus Christ personally, it changes everything. Live or die, I'm the Lord's. I have no plans. But to finish this course, the word spectacle is amazing. The word spectacle, you might want to write this down. The word spectacle is where we get, by the way, the word in Greek is theateron. Theateron. You hear where I'm going with this? Spectacle. We have the English word what? Theater. Paul says, my life is a theater. The ministry is a theater, an exhibit. Displayed, condemned to death, a theater. And there were 3 episodes in what Paul is referring to here. Talking about a dead man. This was, by the way, this was written before the great Colosseum of Rome was built. But did you know they had tons of arenas throughout the empire where gladiatorial wars were conducted? Paul is using gladiatorial language right here. The word spectacle, every Corinthian would have known. Oh my goodness, he's talking about going out onto the sand. What is the word sand? Arena. Did you know that? The arena is the sand. When you hit the sand, you're not walking away. Paul says, I'm going to the theater. I'm not returning. He used graphic language. So, how do you get a dead man excited? Can you pass fish tacos in front of him? Does he get excited? No. Can you show him gold bars from all these stupid commercials we're hearing about on TV? Does he get excited? No. He's dead. Race car, house, boat, plane. Does he get excited? He's dead. Paul was a dead man. Everything he had in his life, he used for the glory of God. You guys, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. Dead. Doesn't the Bible say that we are to be dead to this world, but alive unto Christ? Do you live in a house? How many of you live in a house or an apartment? You don't live outdoors. You live in a house. You know, it's God's. Maybe you're here right now. Yeah, I'm homeless. I sleep under blankets. Well, let us help you fix that. But those blankets, they belong to God. No, they're my blankets. No, they're God's blankets. Dead men have no plans. J. Vernon McGee, don't you love him? He says, as a Christian, I get so tired. Oh, he's quoting someone. He said, someone came to him and said, Mr. McGee, as a Christian, I get so tired of being treated like the village idiot. Every time I try to say something about the Bible. And he says, McGee, now that is the treatment you will get. And it will hinder your Christian witness unless you're willing to be called the village idiot for Jesus' sake. Then everything works fine. We're dead men. Number two, dead men get no respect. No respect. Verse 10, he says, for we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. And he gives a litany of things where they're great and we're not. He says, the world loves you guys. They get all the respect, but Paul says, nope, we're driven from town to town, man. We're beat up. We're thrown out. And then I had to throw this in just because of the geographical place of where we live. Plus, it's kind of cool. Look at verse 14. I do not write you these things to shame you. I'm not really laying it down hard on you to make you feel bad. But as my beloved children, I warn you. What's that? Verse 14. Dead men tell no tales. Dead men tell no tales. He says, I'm warning you. I'm not slapping you around verbally. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. He says, I'm warning you. Church, the word warn means I'm warning you, cautioning you. It's a cool word. It means I'm admonishing you. It is with a firm spank, a loving, firm spank. He's trying to bring their head back down to earth. Christians, you see, well, this message wasn't very evangelistic. I understand that. It's not intended to be evangelistic, but let's make it evangelistic right now. If Paul is telling a church in this letter, it's time to grow up. Get refocused on what you're in this for. That means you and I are supposed to pause, take a big breath, and ask the question, what are we doing? Is church a social club? Is church something that we do on a Sunday morning because of tradition? Is church American? What do we do? Is church, I'm going to go because it's moral. It's good. You're missing it. Church is wherever you are. If you're a believer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, How Can We Serve You? Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Did you know that you can defeat fear with faith? If you want your life to be ignited every day with effortless faith, peace, purpose, and direction, you're going to love our current featured resource. It's called Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire. Now, Barry's infectious love for Christ shines through every page of this book. You're going to really like it. You're sure to realize that the further we stray from the Lord, the greater the turmoil, and the closer we get to Him, well, the greater the peace, the love, and joy that we have in our hearts.
It is a book that is a must read to help you learn how to share Jesus Christ with everybody in any situation. You're going to be surprised as to how easy it is to move someone just a little bit closer to Jesus Christ.
Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire is our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com and get your copy of Ignite Your Life today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.